Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to sing one more, just a small little chorus before we begin. It's called Have Faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And we're... Greetings, brother. God bless you. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for these tithes, offerings, and gifts. And we thank you, oh Lord, that you would use it for your purpose and for your glory. And covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, we thank you, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, the name of the message today, I don't know if I can even do it right, but it's called He Leadeth Me. If you put the sun in the middle of the space of all planets, assume beautiful order. But when you put Jesus in the center of your life, on the throne of your heart, you can expect that things would fall into peace and harmony, but not all the time. We know that there are many challenges facing Christians today, many issues in life. We know that we need to be led of God because we know that there is a government out there and then there's a devil that want to lead you astray and leave you into the dirt. They want to grind your life into powder. They want to cause you to be led astray through debt, through fear, through chaos, carnage. We know that there's a life of evil out there that's just waiting to envelope you, waiting to corral you, waiting to deceive you at every waking turn. And so therefore we need the Lord. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to lead us and guide us. We know that there is a right way and then there's a wrong way. That's why we need Jesus to give us wisdom every day. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If you go to John chapter 10, 1 through 5, I want to begin there if you don't mind. John chapter 10, 1, 5. It says there, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but he will flee from them, for they know not the voice of strangers. Praise God. And that was one of the scriptures where I felt inspired to use, he leadeth me. We know that the Lord is able to lead us in a path that is full of fruit, in a path that is full of righteousness and light, in a path that is sure. It has a sure foundation, wrought by faith in him. And the Lord is able to lead us into all truth, teaching us all things, leading us and guiding us in all wisdom and understanding, that we might grasp and understand. Not all the time. Sometimes we are led by faith, and sometimes we don't even know what to expect or what's going to happen the very next moment. And sometimes our faith is tried. We have many trials. We have many situations in our life where things just don't make sense at all. And we don't even know what to do or where to turn. But all we can do is trust in God, who will take us by the hand and lead us into the promised land. Amen. We know that Jesus Christ, when he was led into the desert, he was led there to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. But he overcame, and the Lord is asking us too to overcome. The Lord was led to the cross of Calvary. He took upon him all our sins. And he's asking us too to take up our cross, to follow him wherever he goes. Whatever he would have us to do, we are to take up the cross in our own lives and follow him. He leads us. If we go to Romans chapter 8, 9 through 17. Romans 8. Romans 8. Praise God. I just want everyone to know that, you know, we can all hear from God. There's not a soul here that can't trust God, that can't hear from God. If you will just dig in, spend some time in prayer, however the Lord would lead you to do so. We know that God is well able, and he's more than willing to take us at our word if we mean business with him. He's more than willing to listen to our prayers of concern, our needs. He's more than willing to help. And each of us must realize that. People oftentimes go through life and they don't even understand who God is, or they think he's some fairy tale in the skies. And people go up there, no matter what they've done in life, we all go to heaven, they think, and they say, and we play our little harps by a willow tree or something. But that's not true. That is not true. But that God does require that we obey him. He does require that we look to the true shepherd. Because there are many in the world who have come today who are seeking to destroy many lives, to lead them astray. And we know that there are people out there today who actually have come forth and said that I am the Christ. I saw a video the other day about a guy who was, I think he was some kind of an Asian fella. And he was asked, are you the Christ? And he says, I am the Christ. I am the second coming. And that was as blasphemous as I could ever think to know or remember of seeing anything that anyone has ever done. That to me was completely horrendous. I just couldn't believe it. But these are the kinds of people, these are the kind of entities that are out there looking to destroy, to deceive, to kill. And we must be on guard and watch to be careful how we walk, how we step forward, and who we listen to. Amen. So if we go to Romans 8, 9 through 17, 8, 9 through 17, it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we know we are no debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Amen. Praise God. We must be seeking the Lord how to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. We know that by faith, Abraham was led of God into a different land to live as a foreigner. We know that he didn't know where he was going, but he was leading a nation. And the Lord led him through many, many situations, many different countries, through many perils, many trials. We know that he was seeking after a better country. And we too, if we go to Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 13 through 16. Hebrews 11. We too are seeking a better country. Amen. That country is heaven. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews 11. And it says here, Hebrews 11, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly, and they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." So we know that by faith Abraham was led, knowing that he was seeking a better country. And so it is in our lives. We seek a heavenly country, but we can't get there on our own. We can't get there by reading some kind of a map book or asking someone how to get there. We have to be led of God. Jesus has to take us and lead us by his Spirit to get there. It's not by ourselves. If we go to Exodus 3, chapter 3, 1 through 4, Exodus. Exodus 3, 1 through 4. Go there. And it reads here, "Now Moses kept the flock, and Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Oreb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he drew, and he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. But the Lord is showing us here that Moses was on the backside of the desert leading his flock. And I believe that the Lord was trying to show us something with that, because truly the Lord also leads us into the desert wilderness. And he leads us, as it were, his flock, if we are truly his God, his children following after him. And the Lord wants us to know and understand that life is not a bowl of cherries. That we will oftentimes end up having to walk out on our own into the desert, the backside of the desert. Sometimes having no one to talk to, no one to pray with, no one to seek out advice, maybe from afar at best. I know in my own personal life, I felt like I had walked for many years, I would say about 25 years, on the backside of the desert. Whereas I thought at first that I was going to be in this one church where I became a Christian. I had given my life to the Lord up in northern Minnesota. But that soon came to a crashing halt through a major church split. And from there on, I was on my own. I had nowhere to go, didn't know what to do. I went back to Hibbing, Minnesota. I was there for maybe a year before I just started asking the Lord what to do. Where do I go? And it was at that point that the Lord, I felt, directed me either towards, I felt in my spirit to go towards either Boulder, Colorado, or to Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I wasn't quite sure. I just got in my car and I packed up the few things that I had with me. And I just started driving. And I got into my car and drove for what seemed 3-4 hours until I was at a fork in the road. And I had to make a decision. And I had to decide, is this the way I'm going to go, or am I going to go this way? And I felt immediately the Lord prompt me to do a U-turn, get back on another road and go towards Minneapolis. And so at that point, I did just that. And I got in, I had done a U-turn, went towards Minneapolis, not knowing where to go. And then I remembered that my brother lived there. I thought I'd maybe give him a call and just see what's going on and how he's doing. And I happened to walk into his life at a time when he needed me there the most, and how I helped him get out of a major jam. And at that point, out of the blue, an old Navy friend of mine called me up, and I don't know how he got my number, but he called me up and he said, Tim, I got a proposition for you. He says, how would you like to be a caretaker at this apartment complex? And I was only there for 2 days. And he called me up and here I was, and I had nowhere to go. And my brother was in trouble with these people that he had gotten mixed up with, some sort of importing trade thing from overseas. And he was being deceived by these people, and they were about to take him for everything he had. And it was at that point I took my brother Danny with me, and we lived together for a while in this apartment complex where I became a caretaker. And I felt like even then the Lord had led me, but I was still on the backside of the desert, still out there, looking for a church, looking for answers, looking for to understand what the Lord had for me in store. I had no clue, no idea. And no understanding, really, is what direction the Lord would still have me to go. I made it that far, and I knew that there was many things I didn't know yet. All I knew was I ended up getting a job shortly thereafter. And I was there for about 4 years. And then I had moved around. I was sort of in the Minneapolis area for about 15 years, off and on. I'd go here for maybe a year and come back and what have you. and how that the Lord led me many different places. And but that was just sort of an example of how the Lord will lead people in spite of themselves, not really knowing what to do next. But sometimes the Lord will just speak to you, and you at that point, you oftentimes you feel like you have just enough confidence to know that this is God, and this is the right thing to do. And then you cross that bridge to another, to another, to another, as the Lord leads you and guides you in your life. And He helps you. He helps you to see and to understand things. And you know, life isn't over until it's completely over. So if you're old or you're young, it doesn't matter who you are. God has a plan for you right now, right where you're at. Don't give up on life. Because it's when, especially oftentimes older people who think that they have no more, nothing to give. But that is ultimately wrong. Because oftentimes it's the older people that can help lead the younger in understanding things with advice, sage advice, and helping people to see things, to be led of God, encouraging people, praying for others, and letting people know it. So don't give up. The Lord doesn't want us to ever give up. And how that Moses was then told of the Lord that he wanted to leave his people. He wanted to lead them out of Egypt. And how that the Lord truly led us out of Egypt in our own lives. How we were once stuck in that world of sin, in that world of compromise, in that world where we didn't even give God a second thought. And how important it is for us to hear God say to us in our hearts, He wants to lead us out of Egypt. He wants to lead us out of Babylon. And that's exactly what happened. Hey, Carol. Praise God. And that's exactly what happened, how the Lord led us out of Egypt. And truly, He wants to do that for you too. He wants to lead you into the promised land as Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land. Amen? That's the Lord's plan. How God led the Gideon against the Midianites, using Gideon to save Israel. And how God led Samson into the amphitheater and destroyed the Philistines. And how that King David was led of God through many trials and tribulations and fiery tests, that one day he would turn around and write all those beautiful psalms for people to be comforted the world over for the rest of what is called time on earth. If you go to Psalm 23, I once did a study on Psalm 23. Of course, you know that. And that was when I sort of began filling in this gap to teach or preach or what pastor would often call treach. And I didn't even know what it is that I'm, what I would call it for me. Except that I would just seek to obey the Lord, to do what I know to do. And that's all I can do. Amen. Psalm 23. And I know that I'm truly, by the way, nothing at all here. I don't think of myself as anyone special. I don't think of myself as anyone privy to anything that other people can't find out or know for themselves. All I can do is walk in obedience with what the Lord has had me to do here and now. And I'm seeking to do just that. And I would also truly ask that you would keep me in your prayers, because really, my desire is to become a more solid Christian. My desire is to be a man who truly does hear more clearly from God. I want to hear from God more and more and more, so that I could have the wisdom to know what to do to help this ministry move forward. And I know that I'm not asking for positions. I'm not asking to be seen or heard. I really could care less about that, be honest with you. But it so happens that it was made available for me to be here and to do what I'm doing. And all I'm trying to do is to help where I can help, to lead where I can lead and guide where I can guide too. And truly, I need guidance and I need to be led of God, as we all do, each and every one of us, because each and every one of us plays a special part. No one here is anyone better than anyone else. And that's the truth. So Psalm 23 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." Oh, to be led beside still waters. How the Lord leads us into paths of righteousness. How the Lord leads us in the time of storms in our life, but how that He is able to take us to a place from that storm to a calm, refreshing, cool breeze meadow by a lake or a stream or a river, under the cool of the shade tree. The Lord is able to help us to find that rest. The Lord is able to show us what to do, where to go. The Lord truly is concerned that we do find that rest in Him. Filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with power, filled with wisdom and strength, filled with the desire to do the exploits of the Lord, filled with the desire to serve Him and not turn back, turn away, or give up or give in. And truly the Lord is there with us if we would just but reach out to Him. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Because there is no greater name that the Lord can swear by but His own. For His name's sake, for His mercy's sake. Truly, that's why we should be crying out to God, looking to the Lord, the all one true God, powerful, who is able to deliver, who is able to lead us out of Babylon, out of Egypt, and into the promised land. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I believe that the Lord wants us to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But He oftentimes will lead us another way. Sometimes it's not direct. Sometimes, as He led the Israelites out of the way, then over to the Red Sea to cross over, oftentimes He wants to lead us into paths where we have lessons to learn, where we have many things that the Lord wants to show us. And many times He will lead us not only to take up our cross, and many crosses there are in our lives that we must pick up, but we have to carry our own, whatever it is, and the Lord will lead us. There is a path that we must still follow and take, but the Lord will lead us and guide us while we carry that cross, while we carry what we're carrying, and then He'll show us as we bend low and bend down on our knees and humble ourselves before God under the weight of that cross. Yet it is not too much that we can't burden to carry. But yet it is enough to humble us, to cause us to turn to God, that we would seek God for His guidance, for His help, and for His leadership in our lives, so that we would not walk as though we ourselves are able to do it on our own, but that with the power of God, with His strength, we are led of Him. With His strength and with His leading, with His guiding, He leads us out from these dark alleyways and from these dark conditions, situations in our lives. And He leads us into the light of His Word, into the light of His Spirit with power and strength and purpose. And He'll help you and me, both of us, all of us, every one of you online, The Lord is well able to take us by the hand and lead us so that we would grow, that we would seek after Him, find strength and purpose, and not give up through it all, because we're to be a light in this world and not a dark spot. We're not to hide our light under a bushel tree or something, or under a cover of any kind, but rather to be a light to all those around us. Amen. If you go to 86, I think it's Psalm 86 I wrote down, praise God. Make that 78. 78. I had wrote a note about that. So it's a bit of a long one. I probably won't read all of it. It says here, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." So we should not lose hope or forget the hope that we have in Jesus. When we go through trials and fiery tribulations and temptations and have many things and problems to overcome, it is important and incumbent upon every one of us to not lose hope, to not give up, to not lose sight of what the Lord is trying to show us through it all. I know, Carol, you yourself have gone through a lot lately with your injuries and car incident that you had and the healing process the Lord has taken you through. And we're thankful to see you here with us today, every one of us. Praise God. And I know that the Lord is, even now, is showing you things in your life, is teaching you some things that we all need to learn. We all need to grow every day. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, where we're at in life. God is able to take every situation and lead us and teach us and guide us. If we go to Romans 2:4. Praise God. Romans 2:4. Thank you, Lord. In Romans 2:4 it reads, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" So here we start again with the importance of being led of God. God's goodness leads us to repentance. We're not driven there. We don't find it by accident, by happenstance. No, the Lord takes us by the hand and He leads us gently. If you go to Acts chapter 8, 26. Acts 8:26. Bear with me here. I gotta put this thing up here. My little invention. Give me more light here. Praise God. I know, Acts 8, I lost my spot here, Praise God. And it's 26 through 40. This has always been one of my favorite stories. And it's talking about Philip and how that Philip was doing many exploits in the name of Jesus. And how that he was walking in obedience as the Lord, the Spirit of God, led him to doing many things that here are not even mentioned in the Word of God. But all that is necessary for us to know is written right here. And it says here, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he arose, and he went, and behold, a man, an Ethiopian eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Esaias the prophet," that was Isaiah, "when the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran hither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understand thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. So it is here in our own lives. Oftentimes, we depend, and God wants to use people who are Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. So that when people have questions in their own lives, these will be people, God's chosen instruments, vessels unto honor, who will go and obey and be led of God, that they might guide others into truth, that they might guide others to the Word of God and its meanings, that they might guide others into the saving salvation of Jesus Christ for their lives and their relatives and their friends and their family. The Lord wants us to be such a firebrand. The Lord wants us to walk in that kind of obedience, to where we have that kind of power in our lives, so that we can walk out there and walk in obedience and trust God that He will lead us and lead others into the promised land. Amen. And it says here, the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. This was what one of the things that the Lord is trying to show us in how to carry our cross and how to walk in such a manner through the book of Isaiah, to walk without complaining, without murmuring, without stirring up trouble and causing problems for others. But we are to walk with a clean heart, to walk without blame, without rebuke, to walk in a manner worthy of being called, you know, as the Lord would call us, one of His own, one of His children. And His humiliation, His judgment, was taken away. And who shall declare His generation? For His life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. You see, these are some of the things that we need to hear from God about, that we need to learn how to obey. Obey the word of God. We are led and guided by the word of God and by his Spirit to walk in obedience, to obey the scripture when it says we must be baptized. We must be baptized in Jesus' name. And that is commanded in the word of God. And many people don't think it's necessary for that to happen. But we know otherwise, how that the word of God commanded that we must be baptized, how that we must repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of all sins. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The Lord caught him away by the Spirit, by his Spirit. Isn't that amazing? How that the Lord can translate a person supernaturally. He is able to lead us into that kind of a walk, into that kind of a relationship with Jesus. I want to be there. I want that kind of a relationship, and I know, I believe that each and every one of you do too. Praise God. We can't get there until we know what direction the Lord wants us to go. We know that a good compass points north. Isn't that right? We should make sure that we're pointing in the right direction. We should make sure that our compass is in Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and his Spirit. If we go to, it reminds me of Sides of the North. Psalm 48, I think it's 2. Yeah, 48:2, I think. 48:2. It says, yeah, right here. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Our compass should be pointed in that direction. Praise God. If we go to Psalm 32, verse 8. 32:8. In God's ever watchful eye, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. This is God's distinct assurance to those whose transgressions and sins and burdens are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. If you go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, if we will, fulfill the previous conditions of trusting the Lord, and we should not lean on our own understanding, amen? It says here, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Praise God. We should lean on him, and he will direct our paths. If we don't, sometimes it's a scary thought to lean only on what we don't see, or sometimes even don't feel. But we know that we can't live by feelings. We know that God doesn't require that we have feelings about many things. But the Lord does require us to walk in obedience, whether we feel it or not. Oftentimes, we don't even feel the need to pray, but I know it's the right thing to do. Isn't that right? We don't always feel like we want to get up and sing praises and worship. But to do so is another form of prayer where we glorify God and give Him all the glory where it's due, because we're but dust and we need help every day. We can't do it on our own. God forbid that we should think that we could. I know that we all, I know everyone here knows that. I know we all feel that way. If you go to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. Isaiah 58, verse 11. Because we need God's favor and help wherever we may be, don't we? And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Wow. What does that remind you of? That reminds me of being filled with the Holy Ghost and having living springs of water coming out of my belly, speaking forth the things of God, speaking with confidence and assurity, knowing that the Lord is speaking, that we could comfort and edify and help those who are in great need today. John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, 12. If you go there. For like a cloudy pillar, the wilderness, Jesus promises light and clarity to those seeking Him. Amen. Seeking Him. Ask, seek, and knock. But in John 8:12 it says this, then speak Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You remember how that during the day when the Israelites were in the wilderness, how that they were led by a pillar, a cloudy pillar. And that by night that they were led by this fiery pillar. And when I was kind of thinking about that this morning and thinking about, boy, isn't that interesting that it was a pillar? And when you think of the word pillar, it brings up many thoughts about something that is solid and of great strength and a cornerstone. And who is that cornerstone? Jesus Christ. So we have conditions of being led of God. And we are to ask. And what does it mean to ask? It just means to go before God and to boldly ask for petitions and requests and prayers. And then it says seek. Jesus wants us to understand what that means. And then we have to sometimes seek after God. It means getting on our knees and seeking God and crying out to God. And sometimes we need to even go so far as to start knocking and knocking on the door, pounding on the door so that, you know, they can hear us. The Lord can hear us. And sometimes it requires that kind of persistence, that kind of seeking. The Lord, you know, wants to know that we're serious with Him, that we are going to go to all measures to get His attention. And He wants us to do that. Ask, seek, and knock. He'll open the door. Luke chapter 11. 34 through 36. Luke 11, 34, 36. And the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. So, what that's talking about is that we need to guard our hearts. There are many many seductive things out there that we need to guard ourselves against. Even so many things as flattering words and people seducing others to think and feel a certain way. Manipulating people. That is so wrong. I can't think of a... I have a hard time trusting people who do that. We need to guard our hearts against any form of manipulation of any kind. Any form of giving ear to it. Because by doing that, we become like them. We don't want to do that. We want to guard our hearts. Keep ourselves pure and clean from all those kinds of things. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of the candle doth give thee light. So the Lord is trying to show us the way, because the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we can't have the light of God unless we first have His life in us. And we can't know where to go unless He shows us the way. And He is the way. And how do we understand what truth is unless we understand who Jesus is? He is the truth. And so it is. We don't want artificial fire. We don't want artificial light. We want the real deal. We want to know who the real Lord Jesus Christ is. And if you go to John chapter 5, 30. John 5, 30. Our will must be surrendered to God. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. This is the key to perfect knowledge, a surrendered will. That is so key to understanding the way. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Did you see that? God doesn't demand that our wills be crushed. He only asks that we say yes to Him. That we become as pliant as a willow twig in His hands. That we just surrender our will completely into His hands. Psalm 27:11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. See, we're going to have many times of crisis. We're going to have many times of where needs and changes are going to take place. And we go to God and find answers through prevailing prayer. To get into God's word, where the Lord can actually speak to us and lead us and guide us in what to do next. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. If you go to James 1, chapter 1, verse 5. We know that a trustful believer may tread the deck of an ocean steamer night after night, sure that he who points the stars in their courses will not fail to direct the soul that has no other aim than to do his will. Amen. Go to James 1:5. And it says here, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So we know that the Lord does not hold back to those that call out to him. He won't hold back wisdom. He gives it liberally to those who seek after wisdom and guidance from the Lord. He is well able to lead you and to guide you into all truth. We can have confidence and know that those stars are in their courses, and He will direct our soul too, to the appointed course where we must go. If you go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, we know that God waited at the last and stayed Abraham from slaying Isaac. Jesus delayed His coming so to raise Lazarus. We know that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were led into the furnace, the fiery furnace, until the last minute, and Jesus came in there with them. Jesus prevented them from being burned or even hurt or harmed in any way. In Habakkuk, it says here, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." God is always on time. He's never late. So we can have faith and patience in knowing that God has a plan, but we must wait for it to unfold. He leads us and guides us, but sometimes not always how we think. It's not always the way we think it should be, but the Lord knows how to guide us. He'll guide us into situations where we can help people. He'll guide us into plain truth and paths whereby others may be helped, where we might have a word in due season for a person to receive. God will lead us and guide us like He did with Philip and the eunuch. That's what the Lord wants. He wants to lead us in that way so that we become a light to whomever and wherever we go. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers 9. Numbers 9, 15 through 23, it says here, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up to the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there were upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered in the day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. And at commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandments of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, and whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. And whether it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. You see, the point that the Lord's trying to make here is that they stayed, they journeyed, or they rested at the commandment of the Lord. I think it's important that we understand what the Lord is trying to show us, is that when the Lord commands us to stay put, we need to stay put. When the Lord commands us to go, we need to go. Or when the Lord commands us to pray for someone, we need to pray for someone. or when the Lord commands us to go speak to another person about salvation, then we need to go speak to that person. Because that's the Lord leading us and guiding us in our everyday life. And that moment may never come again. So it's important that we hear God. Ephesians chapter 5, 14. Ephesians 5, 14. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." You see, we need this light so we can see and hear. I'm reminded of a story of an evangelist, Paul Radar, who talked to a banker in New York, a banker friend that, I don't know if he called him a friend or not, but he was a banker. And this banker was never had time to speak about the Lord. He said, I just don't have time to talk about religion. And how that one day this banker was sent to a sanatorium because he was overworked. And he was so stressed out that he needed just time to rest. And how that the Lord spoke to this Paul Radar, and how that the Lord began to speak to him to say, "Go and speak to him about me." And how that this banker wrote Paul a letter begging him to come, but at the last moment he tore it up and he ripped it up and he threw it away. But God had already seen the man's cry. God had already heard his cry for help. And he sent Paul Radar by way of hearing from heaven. As the Lord opened the door and he took a train and he got there as quick as he possibly could. And he saw him in the doorway of the sanatorium, and how that he went to the doorway and he said, "How are you?" You know, he spoke the banker's name, and the banker said, "Paul, it's good to see you. I wrote you a letter, but I just couldn't send it." And he goes, "I know, but I heard by way of heaven that you needed help." And he went to the doorway there and he spoke to this man about the life-saving knowledge and grace of God Almighty, that he might receive Jesus and become a Christian. And how that this banker friend decided that he would definitely give his heart to the Lord at that moment, and he did. He gave his heart to Jesus, and then he began to see colors, and the sky was much brighter blue, and how that the shades of the green was a greener hue, and how that he began to talk to Paul about how, what a difference. It just seems like how wonderful things are. How wonderful that the clearer things begin to seem and feel. And how that Paul began to sing about a song concerning how that softer greens and blues, and how that he was speaking to him about this song that he knew of. And at that moment, this banker friend fell into his arms and he died. Right there, he died. Right in his arms. Right at that moment. How that he got there just a few minutes before. And his appointed time was about to end. How that we should listen to God. That we should be led of God. That we should be allow God to guide us into the right paths of righteousness. Into paths of truth and understanding, so that we can hear from God. Know and see, and that we can become a better influence to those around us, and how that we can be a light and talk to people and not be afraid and led of God. Praise God. If you go to Psalm 62, 62:5, please go there if you would. You see, we should not always be overly concerned with the self, that we cannot see God. Sometimes people get so inward, they begin to even count the heartbeats of their heart. They look so hard at themselves, and it actually disturbs the rhythm of the heart when people do that. We should just allow God to be God in our lives, and not. We realize that we're not perfect anyways. We're but dust of the earth. But But we are to obey, but we should not have these unrealistic expectations, not only of ourselves, but of others either. We must show more grace and love abounding towards other people. But it says here in 62:5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." It's not, our trust is not in our weaknesses, our shortcomings, or failures. That's part of being led of God too. We have to keep a right perspective, because if we get off track in our mind, our way of thinking or understanding things, then it's harder to hear from God, because we have it in our minds to think a certain way or to believe a certain way. And then we just completely get off track. And that's just another example of a hindrance that we have created, another barrier and another wall. And it's not up to us how things happen for the most part. God is able to restore. He's able to help and lead and guide. So we can't control which way the wind blows. We can't control how many hairs we have on our head. We can't control, what happens in the lives of other people. But all we can do is trust God. And our expectation is from Him. Go to Psalm 85:8-13. And it says in Psalm 85, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak for me. He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase." Oftentimes, in the Word of God, when we're talking about land, it's about our own land, our own personhood, our own heart that needs to be tilled, that needs to be tilled into good soil, so that the Lord can use that and bear, so that we would bear much fruit. "And righteousness shall go before Him and shall set us in the way of His steps." See, Jesus makes a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Praise God. And if you go to Isaiah 60:20, it says here, "The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." In other words, when you put Jesus on the throne of your life, and all things fall into harmony and peace. It says here, "Everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." If we just put our trust in Him, and not in ourselves. Isaiah 48:17-18 says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." You see, the Lord is our instructor, teacher, friend, and encourager. But did you know that when the Bible says in Isaiah 48:18, when He talks about that thy peace had been as a river, He's talking about a series of blessings, one after another. Perpetual, lifelong blessings. A river flows of God's Spirit upon your life. A river of blessings. When He talks about the waves of the sea, at the last part of verse 18, He's talking about that there should be such a righteousness in our life and peace that nothing can stand before it. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, 33. Hear and obey God to dwell safely in peace. Amen. We must hear and obey God. And in Proverbs chapter 1, 33, it says this, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear and evil." There is a dwelling place to live in peace. God gives us those dwelling places. In Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 through 13, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So how do we know God is leading us and guiding us? We must first seek God with all our heart, that we can get into the depths of prayer, so that he can begin to lead us and guide us. It's God who keeps us from falling, from failing. He keeps us in the way everlasting. Go to Psalm chapter 121. Psalm 121. "And I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." No, not from anyone, but from God. Our help comes from God. Not some self-help books or some psychologists. Like Pastor used to say, you really need help. You must be, how did that go about, if you have to go to a psychologist, you need to have your head examined. I got the biggest kick out of that when I heard that. Oh my goodness. Oh man. And then it says in verse 3, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." So the Lord, he is great and wonderful, a great shepherd who watches his flock diligently, his sheep, that they don't stumble in the dark. But that when foxes come or coyotes or bears that want to devour them, he watches over them. He doesn't slumber. It's a 24-hour watch. "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Wow. He not only leads and he guides and protects, but he offers shade under his wings. Praise God. "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." Wow, what does that mean? He's protected from the heat of the day and from the cool and moist air at night. "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." Wow. That evil and sin and trouble cannot harm you or I. Amen, praise God. In verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore." Well, you will be protected as you go out and as you come in, as you become homeward bound, and whether you're old or young, rest from your labors. The Lord is able to get you there. He's able to protect you and keep you. In Proverbs chapter 2, 6 through 9. Chapter 2, 6 through 9. "For we know that the discovery of all truth comes from God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Praise God. "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. These are for those saints who are devoted to his honor, who are set apart for his service, who are given the spirit of wisdom." Amen. Proverbs 2, 8 through 9 says this, "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints." For we, see, what is he saying? We endure trials of our faith. But we are in his keeping power. It says here, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. You see, these good paths are fruitful. These are paths that lead us. Yeah, though we go into trials and judgment of all kinds, we can appreciate that the paths that we are in, the every good path, are paths of fruitfulness. The Lord is able to keep us on that one way. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You see, the Lord directs our steps so that we don't fall short. The Lord directs us so that we make it in the end, where there's hope. In Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Amen? Praise God. I may not be able to make it to the end here, but I'm going to close by saying this. There's a story of two men who were traveling, wanted to go into the Andy Mountains. And they came to a lady by the name of Elizabeth Elliot. And they came to her asking for just a little bit of, a few words of knowledge of their language. That was about it. They didn't ask for maps, or they didn't ask for a compass. They didn't ask for anything of that nature. But how far better is it that we should be seeking God? We should be seeking Him in our lives. How far more important would it have been for these two people to have asked for a guide who has been there before and who knows the way? Jesus has been there before and he knows the way. When we just go somewhere and we ask a few questions as far as, a few words to understand their language, we're unprepared. We don't have the answers. We go into a situation, we don't know what's going on or how to go about doing things. But when we have that guide in our life, when we have Jesus to lead us and guide us, we're assured that we will get there. He knows the way. He knows how to get us there. And in Psalms 48:14, it says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And I know that the Lord wants to lead us home. And in 2 Timothy 4:18, it says this, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto the heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the Lord wants to use us, lead us, and guide us into truths of righteousness, filled with his wisdom, filled with a desire to help others, that we too might seek God for wisdom and understanding, for salvation, for strength, for help, for knowledge, for understanding. Because truly, without God's help, we can't do anything. Without God, we're like a flashlight without batteries. And we need to be recharged. We need Jesus to help us every day. And we know that there's a guide out there who can help us get there. He knows the way, and his name is Jesus. And so, with that, I would ask every one of you to encourage others, to encourage yourself in the Word, to get before God and ask God to show you, to lead you and to guide you into all truth of understanding, that we would have a good word in due season for others, that we would walk with wisdom and understanding, and that we would be a light that others might see. So praise God. Why don't we just go ahead and pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would continue, Lord, to lead us and to guide us into all truth, in the paths of righteousness, oh Lord, and that you would lead us and guide us to help others, that they too might see and believe and hear and know the truth. that it might set them free too, O God. For you said that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by you, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Jesus, that you would lead us and guide us in such a